Bible reading this morning is from Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. And the same day when he was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Bragg for that reading this morning. And I have the early talk for the next 2 weeks. And then because of some travel that Mike and I each have over the next couple months, he will then have this early talk for four straight weeks. And so I didn't want to get into a lengthy series and then have a four-week gap in between. So I focused on just a real quick two-part series that I thought would be kind of helpful. We all are dealing with things that I'm going to be talking about. So this quick two-part series is going to talk about worry and anxiety, just dealing with areas that we might be worrying about. There's a lot of things in the world. There always are things, but we've got some pretty extraordinary things going on right now. The pandemic, while mostly under control, still is something that at least plays some part in our lives. Thankfully, those of us who have dealt with it over the last few months appear to mostly come through it fairly well. The economy, money is very tight right now for a lot of people, and budgeting and so forth has them worrying. And with the inflation and everything going on right now, money's always a worry, but it could even be more worrisome right now. And really, I think the thing that impacts us most here as Christians is just the sinful world around us. As we're constantly hearing of sinful activities that are gaining more and more acceptance, whether it be kind of the relaxing of our drug laws, just more and more states are relaxing those laws. Obviously, the LGBTQ, when I wrote that down, I wanted to make sure I got everything. That is just becoming more and more accepted. And just what I want to call just run-of-the-mill sexual attitudes are just becoming much more acceptable to our society. And what adds to that worry is that we never hear of anything going in the favor of faith and, godly living. It's just the opposite, actually. Religion is attacked in any which way that it can be, and those that are, quote-unquote, to the world religious are ridiculed. They are being represented as being out of the mainstream, divisive, and harmful. I just this week, I saw that the 1953 version of War of the Worlds was on, and so I recorded and watched it later. And it wasn't a very good movie. I mean, a lot of people like it, but I didn't find it was all that great. It was very dated, but even beyond that, it just was kind of cringe. And I went to looking to see what other people thought of the movie. And I found this one review that didn't like it, but one of the reasons why he didn't like it was because it had religious overtones in it. And that is kind of how it is played throughout the movie. Towards the end, when all hope was gone, people met in churches and prayed together and so forth. And at the end, if you've never seen it, I'm not going to give it away, but I mean, you've had since 1953 to watch it. I suppose you're not going to run right out. The aliens die because of a bacteria here on Earth that they were susceptible to. And at the end of the movie, it said, that bacteria which God created saved us all. And so I could see why someone who is anti-religious wouldn't like how the movie portrayed it. I know it was remade about 10, 15 years ago. I doubt that movie was made with these same religious overtones. So I just, because that wouldn't be made today. It couldn't be made today and get any kind of widespread acceptance. So basically, how do we handle any kind of worry that we have in our lives? The three examples I listed are surely not the only things in which you have to be worried about, but we need to be able, whatever they may be able to handle the anxiety we have and the fears that we have. And that's what we're going to discuss over the next 2 weeks. Now, in the passage that Jim read for us, which was in Mark chapter 4, we see that Jesus and his disciples had entered a boat and were about to cross the Sea of Galilee. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over and into the boat. Their boat was being filled with water, and they were becoming very, very concerned. But while all this was going on, we learn that Jesus was asleep. So they approach him. In verse 38, they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That's what so many people in the world default to when things are going bad in their lives. God, don't you care? Aren't you aware of what's going on in my life? And aren't you going to do anything about it? We need to think about how that question, we need to think about that question and examine that. Because we have to think about what it is the disciples were asking. They were saying, "Jesus, don't you care about us? Don't you want us to not die?" And if we find ourselves asking that question, "Jesus, don't you care about me?" I would hope that you would realize that whatever you're going through in your life, that answer is always going to be yes. Jesus cares for those men in that boat. He cares for you and me, and he cares about what is happening to us. And so we can learn from that by basing it upon what actions Jesus takes here in this passage. Jesus speaks, and the wind stops, and the sea becomes very calm. And by doing this, he's showing his disciples that he has absolute control over anything physical on this earth. There's nothing outside of his abilities or his power. And if we didn't see that in this illustration, we have a passage in Ephesians which tells us that very thing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us," speaking about Jesus. So we need to think about that passage whenever we're having trouble. Is there anything that Jesus cannot do? Is there something that's just beyond his abilities? Is there a request that if he chose to, he couldn't answer? Is there something outside of his skill set that he's not able to do? Well, that's what Jesus is showing at this moment. What we are not able to do, he was able to do. And so this is what Jesus kind of references here in verse 40. He looks at them and says, "Why are you so afraid?" Now, think about how the disciples could have answered. "Well, the boat was sinking and we were in fear of drowning. That's why we were so afraid. We were in danger. We were afraid." What a silly question that could have been asked. Well, it's not a silly question if you understand who Jesus is and understand that no matter what's going on, he does care for us. And that is the calm that we can bring into our lives. It's the calm that we need many times when we are struggling. Does Jesus care for me? And like I said, the answer is always yes. Does Jesus have control over whatever is happening in our lives and whatever is happening in this world? Yes. So with those two answers being answered positively, we need to ask ourselves, why are we so afraid? Just like the disciples, why were they so afraid? Verse 40, Jesus continued by saying, "Have you still no faith?" The Luke account says, "Where is your faith?" And so Jesus is showing us that fear comes from a lack of control. When we don't have control, we become uneasy and makes us fearful. With all that's going on and causing us to be concerned about how our society is changing, or just maybe personal situations that we're dealing with, people are quickly realizing that there are a lot of things out of their control. Now, those of us here today, especially this group that shows up for this early lesson, we should understand that God has control. It's taught in the scriptures over and over again. The passage where life is just a vapor shows that we have no control. We are not in control over how long we will live. We are not in control over how we will die and so forth. And so lack of control is what is generating that fear in a lot of people. So Jesus is asking here, where is your faith? He was saying, you never had control. You couldn't do anything about it. So why are you not trusting me? Do you think I'd let this boat go down and take all of you with it? And so if you believe that Jesus cares and you believe that Jesus is in control, and then we are still afraid, then we need to say, well, where is our faith? Faith will not panic, but will turn fear over to him to allow him to be in control. Another passage that's very familiar with us that talks about the control that Jesus has is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. This is a passage we know very well, and just for the sake of time, we're not going to go over it. But this is from the Sermon on the Mount, and this is where Jesus is telling them to not be anxious about their lives. This is where he says, consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies. And that he's saying that we shouldn't worry about what we're going to eat or where we're going to live or what clothes we're going to have or what may happen to our body. He's saying that we shouldn't worry all about that because the Heavenly Father knows what it is that we need. The first word of verse 25, we talked about it last week, when you see therefore, you need to, what is it therefore? Well, in this case, it's referencing back to verse 24. And that verse tells us that we can't serve two masters. We will love one and hate the other, and that we cannot serve God and also serve the world and serve the wealth. We can't do both. So the implication here is that if we serve God and we understand that we can't serve both man and the world, then here is the outcome, and that begins in verse 25. He tells us, do not be anxious about your life, about what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will wear, and just your body in general. He's telling these people, and he's telling us today, we shouldn't worry so much about physical things. Now, I've saying a lot of things up here that make it seem very easy. I understand it's not easy to do, to say, Lord, I'm going to put this in your hands. But it is something that we have example that we can do. It's not an easy thing to turn everything over and realize we don't have control. But it is possible to do so. And Jesus is going to tell us how it can be done. This is all about our perspective and what it is we choose to focus on. So if we're worrying and being fearful, then we're thinking about it in the wrong way. So we need to think about, well, then how do we fight that fear, and how do we fire that anxiousness that we may be having? So the first thing is that we could look from this passage in Matthew chapter 6 is that we are valuable and we have value in God's eyes. Verse 26 and verses 28 through 30 touches on this, that we need to understand that we are valuable to him, and that based on, you know, we learned this in the Mark passage, he does care about us, and he cares what is happening to us. And we know this because, first of all, he sent his only son to earth to die for us. He wouldn't do that if he didn't care about us. What Jesus went through on the cross reveals that to us, and it should show how deep God's love is for us. And so you can be assured that you are valuable to him. And Jesus illustrates it by saying, God feeds the birds, make sure that they have what they need, and you are worth much more than a bird to God. It was you, not them, in whose image we were made. We are much more valuable, and we have had from the very beginning a relationship with God that we can rely upon. Second thing we learn here in verse 27 is that worry is worthless. Now, a good bit of you did know my mother. There's only a few of you probably that had never met my mother. And I always said, my mother was not a very good adherent to this policy. My mother would, I think she lived to worry. If she wasn't worrying about something, she was worried why she wasn't worrying about something. That's just kind of how she was. And to some extent, I've gathered some of that, but I don't think I'm as paralyzed by it the way that she was. And Jesus tells us here in verse 27, what bit of good does worrying do for you? Can you change anything that's going to happen just by worrying over it? Now, maybe if you're thinking about it and wondering how you could handle it, hopefully that includes praying to God and leaning upon Him to help you through something. I've mentioned many times that how reassuring it is when I was going to go in, maybe, especially at my last company, where I would go into a meeting and I knew it probably wasn't going to go very well. We were going to be meeting with a client and maybe the results hadn't been what we were wanting, and we were going to maybe, you know, have a pretty uncomfortable conversation with that client, or maybe it was internal, maybe it was a review, a yearly review, something like that. How many times before I went to that meeting, I just said a quick prayer and I said, Lord, help me approach this the right way. Help me have the right things to say. And it's amazing how many times those meetings don't end up being nearly as bad as what I was worrying about. If I go in and just rely upon the Lord to help me through those meetings and say the right thing, it does have, you do have a calm that washes over you if you really truly believe that. So I'm a big proponent of that, because we have to understand that whatever happens, only God can change what occurs. And so worrying won't change anything, fear won't change anything, but it's strange how much time we do spend worrying and being fearful. And so verse 27 here says all that time, all that worry is for nothing. It serves no purpose. Third thing we can take from this passage is found in verses 31 and 32. God knows what it is that we need. God cared for the Israelites, even after they had rebelled against him and didn't believe him. But then when they were wandering through the wilderness, God knew they needed water. He knew they needed food. He knew they needed shelter. And he provided all of those things for them. Now, he didn't make it easy, so they would come to an understanding that if they tried to do it on their own, they weren't very successful. But if they relied upon God, he would take care of them. And so what happened? They went without water for a while, and then they would look to God for water, and God would provide. They went without food for a while, and then they would turn, and they would look to God for their food, and he would provide. God knew what they needed, and we have to have the faith that he knows what it is that we need. He knows that we need food, we need shelter, we need clothing, we need jobs. He knows these things. And we can stop worrying with that fear. I mean, we can stop worrying and get rid of that fear because we can know that God knows what it is that we need. And then there is, this is the part that we are in control of, and it's found in verse 33. The answer to having the ability to overcome fear and the answer to overcome worry is that we need to seek him. That is the one part that we can control. Now is the time to be seeking God. He'd be much more willing to help us if we're seeking him in good times or when it's not pressing. But not to say that if it is pressing that we can't say something, but if we show that attitude, if we are seeking God, and most of us here, I would certainly say, the fact that you're here at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you're seeking him in some way. But people who show their lack of faith when they think that they have to take care of themselves and fend for themselves, they're relying upon themselves, and their faith isn't overriding that. They're not seeking God to help them. God is telling each of us that he will care for you. But the flip side is we have to be seeking him. We have to look for him. And so those that don't believe that God will provide for them are the ones that are full of worry and full of fear. God does not say he will provide for you if you trust yourself first, or you try to take care of yourself first, or you worry about your budget first, or you know what you're going to live on first. Or he's not going to provide for you if basically you're relying upon yourself. God says, seek him first, and he will provide for us. And then finally, verse 34, something that I struggle with, I'm sure we all struggle with, we need to let tomorrow go. Worrying about tomorrow is where most of us are concerned. Eventually tomorrow becomes today, but there's always something more out there tomorrow for us to be worrying about. God says, give tomorrow to me. Give next week to me. Give next month, next year. Whatever period of time that you're looking out, that you're worrying is impacting you, God says, I've given you today. I will help you today. Live today and let tomorrow go. And so ultimately we can win over worry, but we need to be honest with ourselves. We're not in control. God is. And so we'll continue looking at this next week, looking a little bit more about anxiety and what some scriptures say about that. But I hope this gives you some comfort. I mentioned it's not easy, but we have several examples just in the two passages that I focused on this morning that we can rely upon the Lord to give us what it is that we need. John has the prayer, and after that, in a few minutes, we will have our class.